Yeah, there's no continuity. And that's also Latour's problem that you kind of brought up was this word social that we use. It doesn't actually have explanatory value. You just say social to describe so many different kinds of interactions, and it doesn't differentiate between what those interactions are. So the social is not just a separate space from the rest of nature. It's continuous, which is why systems theory is trying to offer a theory of systems that explains all of them. And it's also not dead matter, that's like good. You said. It's like a solar system is not a system in the sense that we're using it.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah, Latour wants to put society as the this is the thing we have to explain. This is not the source of explanations for things, right? We don't appeal to the social as, say, the glue that holds things together, right? We're going to be talking about autopoiesis, which is another way of talking about, well, how do systems hold together? How do they persist throughout time? And how do they maintain cohesion and identity? How do they not just disintegrate, right? Or how does one thing not just sort of become another thing, but stays itself through time, even though, you know, all of its parts may be replaced, you know, like what, the human body every 14 years, every single cell in our body has been completely died and regenerated, yet we're still the same person. How does that work? Or how does a company last for hundreds of years? Every single employee dies and is replaced, and every single location and building might be torn down, but it's still the same company, right? Is it just the name, or is there something a little more systematic and, as we say, autopoietic going on there?
It's some ship of Theseus shit, right? And we are, like, usually when we're talking on the podcast with the other guys, or when we're doing, I don't know, a Marxist analysis, then, you know, it's fine to say society. It's not like that's wrong. It's just it's a shorthand term that if you're trying to get into explaining something like, I don't know, what can I pull out of my ass? Like social media, for example. It's really hard to break down the strata or what could correspond to class in a social media system, despite the fact that it's very much based on human communication. So,
I mean, in a way, Aristotle gave us this problem in saying that humans are fundamentally political animals, which is like humans are fundamentally social as well. We desire, so why do we do what we do? Because we are social, and that eventually just becomes like the social. Like, what is religion is just a feature of society, or marriage can be explained, or crime can be explained as an aberration of the way society is supposed to work. But this doesn't explain what society is and how things hold together, because everything needs to be carefully reproduced everything is reproduced every day. That's why Latour prefers the word association to society. You can still see the root word society in there, but association sort of brings to the forefront the idea that we are associating with one another in networks, he would call them, in networks. But you could replace that with systems, right? Systems are built up out of associations that are enacted. They're not just there. They don't just exist like glue. And if the glue fades away, if society crumbles, then all of us will just like fire off into space because there's nothing holding us together anymore because that social glue is gone or that social contract has been broken, right? So it is really good to describe, you know, when we talk about society or social behavior, so the word social is shorthand.
And we're not Catholics, so we're not going to be beholden to some teleological Aristotelian explanation for why humans form societies. Also, he does say like other animals are social, which they are, but it shows how useless the distinction is, because he says like bees are social naturally because they form communities, and that's something that humans do, but humans do it politically. Anyway,
baboons.
What's up, patrons? I don't know if I said hi to you yet, but we're glad you're here, and we're glad if you signed up, because we did such a banger of an intro episode, then we shall let the banging continue. Today's episode is entitled Autopoiesis, which is going to take us into some etymology in order to explain. Autopoiesis is the term for how a system is a system. And that's what I think this intro conversation has sort of got to, is other explanations or alternative explanations don't offer a how. They kind of assume as given that something like society just is. But systems theory is not only about how every individual system is, but how are they differentiated, and then how is society broken down into all these different things. So it's anti-intelligent design, and it applies equally well to biological evolution and the social contract theory, because the social contract theory assumes that everyone's rational and just like sitting around at the start in order to intelligently design a society that works, which has never happened, right? It's a mythology.
Yeah. It's kind of an evolution from like the medieval sort of God-centered society, where now in the social contract, we're rational individuals entering into relations with one another on a more or less permanent basis. And yeah, I think Latour would sort of maybe be interested. He definitely goes a different direction with it, with his actor network theory. But I think the idea of autopoiesis as something that could explain the existence of a social system, or of society as a set of social subsystems, and then as society itself as maybe like a macro level system. I think he would find that very interesting, although he's gone a different direction. We're talking more about Luhmann here from a cybernetic systems theory kind of point of view, which is where we started last time.
I think Latour would agree with the sense that these are actions, would you say? Like, it's, you look at the acts of communication, you don't assume that there's this sphere of communication.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's still got this idea that action is something that just flows through networks, and actors sort of pick it up and they transform it and they pass it along. So it's a little bit different from autopoiesis. Now, I'm sort of coming at autopoiesis from the beginnings in biology, where it was a sort of alternative to vitalism. And then trying to sort of extract it and say, well, can this be now applied to social systems?
Right. Why don't we back up for a bit? You can do you're talking about Mazzarena and Varela, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about the...
Okay, so they're biologists. Why don't I just first of all define autopoiesis, because it's got a bit of a background to it. So the term poiesis, if any of you out there are philosophers in the Greek tradition, Aristotle distinguished these two types of action. The first is praxis, and the second is poiesis. So autopoiesis doesn't emerge until the 20th century as a term, but our two-bit Marxists will recognize the word praxis, of course. So first, praxis, and this is important for the distinction here. Praxis means that the purpose of the action is also the action itself. So the purpose is the action, if you're with me. And you can tell me to slow down, Eric, because I don't know if we didn't discuss this prior. So some examples include, if you're like hanging out with your friends, right? You're not trying to do anything else but hang out with your friends. And the purpose is, like, I guess, forming relationships. But that's done in the action itself. Or if you're just having a chat with somebody, or run. Oh, here's a good example. If you're running just because you like the hobby, because you enjoy going out, getting a run in. All praxis, by the way, which is different from poiesis, because poiesis, you always have a goal that's separate from the action. So if you're running because you want to win the Olympics, or if you want to run a marathon and get like a certain place, now it's turned from praxis to poiesis, because you're not doing the activity for itself, you're doing it to get somewhere else. Or if you're running because you're late for transit and you got to catch your bus before it leaves, then that's a poietic action instead of a praxis action. So it has to do with whether the goal itself is separate from the action or in it.
That's really interesting. I never thought of it that way. I was expecting you to be like, and the other kind is techne, and go the Heidegger angle.
No, this is actually from Aristotle.
Oh, I see. Yeah, like I'd be sitting here maybe as a pseudo-Marxist and being like, doesn't praxis mean the application of theory to practice? Isn't that generally what praxis tends to mean in the Marxist tradition? You got like praxis theory, I guess. It's a whole like movement. Connects to that idea that, you know, philosophers have interpreted the world and the point is to change it, you know, praxis.
Well, I think in terms of the Marxist connotation, it's that if you're undertaking what could be called an act of resistance, then at the same time as undertaking the act of resistance, then you are resisting, which is, you know, building the new world. So the revolutionary world is located within your action. But I don't know if that would hold with Aristotle's distinction. It's close. It's not far. But poietic action has an external purpose, and praxis is the action that is the purpose.